نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. We'll begin here, inshallah ta'ala, this morning's talk with following the scholars. But before I begin, if there's anyone who feels uncomfortable because I didn't translate the khutbah al-hajja, and I usually translate everything that's said in Arabic so that everybody can understand, let me know and then we'll translate it. But otherwise, we're going to leave it out. Begin with the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah. والله تعالى says يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. الله تعالى says, O you who believe, be upright to Allah and witnesses of justice, and don't let your hatred for people make you unfair, but being fair and just is closer to taqwa, so fear Allah, indeed Allah is well aware of what you do. This morning's talk, following the scholars, is going to be in light of inshallah ta'ala Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the scholars themselves, how we are to follow the scholars. However, there's been a plot lately, or ignorance, and both of them are evil, in relationship to myself or us here at the Islamic Center of America, Masjid Ahl al-Sunnah, Madrasat Ahl al-Sunnah, in light of this statement, following the scholars. A plot, meaning that some people are using this statement, following the scholars, to make us blind followers, and to make us slaves to whoever they want us to be slaves to. Meaning that we have no more intellect, and we can't use our mental faculties, but we have to go with whatever is given to us by whoever gives it to us whenever they give it to us. This is one meaning that the people are using this word, following the ulama, in order to make us blind followers, those who have no concern about evidences from Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to bring examples, inshallah ta'ala, to show why I feel that this is one of the meanings that they use it. The other meaning that the people are using following the scholars, they're using it because they're ignorant. They're ignorant of what the scholars say, so they tell us to follow the scholars because they don't have the slightest idea what the scholars say. All they know is, I heard the people saying, so I said what they said. But when it comes to us, it's follow the scholars. Or why don't you follow the scholars? People are ignorant. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ of Allah's book and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the statements and the positions of the scholars themselves. And the examples of this one, could be so many that they could fill up this masjid. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So we want to, inshallah ta'ala, take a look at following the scholars in light of the kitab and the sunnah and the position of the sahaba and the tabi'un and the tabi'in and the scholars of this deen, and then compare it to this plot of making us blind followers or the call of the ignorant, follow the scholars. When I quote from the book of our Shaykh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi, حفظه الله مفاتيح للفقه في الدين, keys for an understanding in this deen. And we're going to quote from page 79 on, inshallah ta'ala, and that's the chapter توقير العلماء وإجلالهم مع العلم بأن كلا يؤخذ من قوله ويرد إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Chapter honoring and respecting the ulama with knowledge that everyone will, have some positions taken from him and have other positions refuted of him except the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's clear? I may say it in another words. Time of translation is hard. Every scholar is to be honored, respected, and his positions are to be accepted, but others of his positions will be rejected except for the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning nobody is like the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, as Allah describes him, وَمَا يَمْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٍ يُوحَىٰ, that he does not speak from his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْحَاكَمُ فَاجْتَهَدَ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرَانَ وَإِذَا اجْتَهَدَ فأخطأ إذا حكم فاجتهد ثم اجتهد فأخطأ فله أجر, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام في حديث البخاري المسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if the hakim makes a verdict and he does his best to come to the conclusion and he's correct, then he gets two rewards. And if he tries to make a verdict and he does his best to come to the conclusion and he's wrong, then he gets one reward. This is a statement from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Show us some of the positions of the ulama are correct and some of them are wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam began with right first when he talked about the ulama, because they're mostly right, and wrong secondly because they're rarely wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of the ulama, past and present, ila yawm al-deen. Our Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi, hafidhahu Allah, he says, the people of knowledge are the people with more fear of Allah and more knowledge of Him and His boundaries, and they are more magnificent. They glorify and magnify Allah more so than anyone else. As Allah Ta'ala, He says, شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. From Surah Ali Imran, verse number 18, where Allah Ta'ala says, Allah bears witness that indeed no God has the right to be worshipped but Him, and the angels and the people of knowledge also bear witness. Standing with justice, no God has the right to be worshipped but Him. He is Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. And Subhanahu, He says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. From Surah Al-Fatir, verse number 28, the only people who fear Allah, really fear Allah, are the ulama, or the scholars, the people of knowledge. And Allah, He says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And this is from Surah Al-Zumar, verse number 9, where Allah says, say are those who know like those who don't know. The only ones who reflect on this are the people of intellect. And Allah subhanahu, He says, أَفَمَنْ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ الْحَقُّ كَمَنْ هُوَ أَعْمَى. From Surah Al-Ra'd, verse number 19, where Allah says, is the one who knows that that which has been revealed to you from your Lord is nothing but the truth, like the one who is blind. Meaning the one who knows that the Quran is the truth, is he like the one who is blind? Mustafa ibn Adawi Hafidhullah, he says, so Allah, He makes clear some of the rank and status and position of the people of knowledge in these ayat, and He has raised their eminence in other ayat, as He says, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. From Surah Al-Mujadila, verse number 11, where Allah says, and Allah has raised those from amongst you who believe and those who have been given knowledge in degrees. So respecting the ulama or the scholars, the people of knowledge, it is necessary. And honoring them is particular. And honoring and respecting them is desired. And making dua for them is a habit of the faithful lovers of the righteous. And seeking forgiveness for them is the path of those who fear Allah. And Allah has commanded us to ask them about that which we find difficulty in, as Allah subhanahu says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. From Surah An-Nahl, verse number 43, where Allah says, and ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. And He says, Subhanahu, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ وَالْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. And this is from Surah An-Nisa, verse number 83, where Allah says, if there came to them a public affair of fear or safety, then they hurried to publicize it. And if they would have returned the issue to the messenger or to those ulul amr, the people of knowledge, from amongst them, then they would have known what was being said of from them, or something like that. I mean, the munafiqs are always making some statements, and then you have some regular people taking those statements and hurrying up and spreading them, which might cause serious confusion and problems in the Muslim community. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, if they would have turned it back to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to the people of knowledge, then those would have been the people to handle any affair that's going to affect the public or the Muslim community. The Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi continues as he says, Ulul Amri, or the people of authority, they are the people of knowledge firstly and foremost. And then there's another statement that this refers to the Umara, or the Amirs, or the leaders. And really what should be said is that it encompasses the leaders or the emirs and the ulama, the people of knowledge or the scholars. The Shaykh, he continues, he says, all of this is wajib, or an obligation concerning the people of knowledge. And really, even more so than this is an obligation. And every time a person increases his honor and respect for a person, or every time a person increases his honor and respect for the people of knowledge, then this shows the person's understanding, and this shows his good character. Don't you see that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, the cousin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was taking Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu And he was from amongst the scholars of the Sahaba in the laws of inheritance. He was taking by his string that go around the horse's mouth that helps you, reins of the horse, of his riding animal or camel. And he said to, and Zayd said to him, the cousin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leave the reins of this riding animal alone. Meaning he felt, Zayd felt embarrassed that Abdullah ibn Abbas, the likes of him, would be holding the reins of his horse and honoring him in that way. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, no, this is the way we've been taught to deal with our people of knowledge and our leaders and the people of status and rank amongst us. Mustafa ibn Adawi, he says that this is collected by Ibn Sa'id in his Tabaqat, and he mentions the volumes and the page number, and he says it's from the Tariq of al-Sha'bi, where he says that Ibn Abbas, he took the reins of Zayd ibn Thabit's riding animal, and he said to him, let it go, O cousin of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, this is the way we've been commanded to deal with our ulama, our scholars, and the big people from amongst us, and this is authentically, and this chain is authentic. Mustafa ibn Adawi continues, hafizahullah, as he says, and this is only a little from a lot, or a drop from a big flow, from what has been narrated from the respect of the Salaf to the people of knowledge, rahimahumullah. Except that all of this does not mean that we accept from them. May Allah reward them with good, jazahumullahu khayran. That we do not accept, that it does not mean that we accept from them their statements that is in opposition to evidences, or their statements and positions that does not have any evidences. Rather, we ask as much as we have the ability to do so about the evidence, the dalil from the Quran and the Sunnah, because a scholar might overlook or be unaware, whether he says a virtuous scholar or a magnificent sheikh might be unaware of an evidence from the different evidences. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who is, encompasses all knowledge. And also a scholar, he might use a piece of evidence that has been abrogated, or something else might be unknown to him, or something else from amongst the many excuses that we will accept from the people of knowledge, and that these excuses or that these mistakes that they make is basically unknown in the ocean of the virtues of the people of knowledge. So an alim al-mujtahid, or a big scholar, if he makes a mistake, then there's a reward for him. And if he's correct, then it's two rewards. And this is their position in the sight of Allah. But as far as the followers are concerned, then it is not permissible for them to turn away from the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the statement of anyone from amongst the people after the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been made clear to them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to take the affair back to him and his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam whenever there is a difference. As Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِن تَنَعَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. From Surah An-Nisa, verse number 87, where Allah says, and if you differ in anything, then take it back to Allah and the Messenger. If you believe in Allah on the last day, that is better as a final decision. And Allah concerning his Prophet Muhammad عليه السلام, he says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. from Surah An-Najm, verses 3 and 4, and he does not speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. Mustafa ibn Adawi, hafadahullah, he says, so as far as the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they are the finest of humanity and the best of the ulama, or the most virtuous and outstanding of the scholars. He didn't add here, but I just wanted to add this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from al-Bukhari and Muslim, where he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, khayru an-nasi qarni thumma alladhina yalunahum thumma alladhina yalunahum. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the best of humanity is my generation, and then the generation that followed them, and then the generation that followed them. Mustafa ibn Adawi continues as he says, and the Quran was revealed. And the Quran was revealed to their prophet. And the Quran was recited to them. With all this referring to the Sahaba. And amongst them, the Sahaba was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to bring all of their difficult problems to him, and he would clarify to them that which was not clear. And even with all of this being the case pertaining to the Sahaba, and they are the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that there are many fatwas that come from them that are in opposition to what is correct. And it usually, or it comes from, or stems from, the evidences not reaching them, or because they had a position of ijtihad, or a particular understanding of a text, that they opposed others in that understanding, or that there was a particular understanding or position from amongst the positions that were extracted from a piece of evidence that was unaware to them, or something else, except that these mistakes are forgiven or unknown in the ocean of their virtues by the permission of Allah Al-Aliyul Kabir. So for example, before the Shaykh begins, I want to just ask a question to make sure that we're clear, so that the people don't try to change anything. Is everyone aware of our position pertaining to the Sahaba and the likes of our Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi, that we mention their good points and we refrain from mentioning their bad points, and that this is our position pertaining to the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam? These things that the Shaykh are about to mention is not to at any rate defame or talk bad against the Sahaba of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here are the people of Hadith, the people who defend the Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam more so than any of the Muslims, mentioning these incidents in their collections of Hadith, not to bring down the status of the Sahaba, but to make clear that everyone, positions will be accepted from him and other positions will be rejected, except the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi, he says, for example, the scholar of this ummah, of our ummah, and the cousin of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there's been narrated from him the fatwa that it is permissible to have a mut'a nikah in some particular circumstances. And we well know, or it's well known, that mut'a is haram forever. The Shaykh, he says, it's been collected by al-Bukhari, and this is in the Fath al-Bari, and he mentions the page and the volume number. He says, from the path of Abu Jamrah, that he said, I heard Ibn Abbas being questioned about the mut'a marriage of the women. The mut'a marriage is when you agree, you and the women, you and the lady, that we will be married for a particular time. Like, let's be married for Friday night until Saturday afternoon,
in the Poconos or something like that. And then the wali and everything, you do the marriage and you go have it. And then at the end, it's over. At any rate, Abu Jamrah, he said that I heard Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma being asked about the mut'a marriage, and he made it okay. So his mawla said to him, you mean that this is only in rough circumstances, or if there's only a few women or something like that? And Ibn Abbas, he said yes. And this is and it's also collected in Sahih Muslim, and he mentions the page number that Ali heard Ibn Abbas taking a light position pertaining to mut'a. So he said, take it easy, Ibn Abbas. Indeed, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited mut'a marriage on the day of Khaybar, and he also prohibited the luhum al-humar al-insiyah. I forgot what that is. Donkeys. Jazakumullahu khayran. I don't know what you call that. All right, donkeys is clear. I don't be knowing like different types of animals and all of that. So when you read it, long time. The Sheikh Mustafa ibn al-Adawi continues as he says, and Abu Talha, a magnificent Sahabi, he used to see that ice didn't break your fast, and that was because it's not food and it's not drink. And it's been collected by Ahmed. The Shaykh is bringing the exact text of the hadith and the volumes and the page numbers, and I went back to check them and they were there. And I guess he went through all of this just because somebody might act like he's inventing some of these stories to make it clear that people's positions will be accepted and others will be rejected. Even though you honor and respect them, accept the Messenger of Allah, everything is going to be accepted from him. This is in the from the Musnad of Imam Ahmad with authentic chain on the authority of Anas, who said that it was raining ice or sleet, I guess you call it. And Abu Talha was fasting, so he started taking some of it. And it was said to him, are you going to eat and you're fasting? And he said, no, this is blessings. And in one of the other narrations, he said, this is not food and this is not drink. No, this is not food, not drink. I guess he's saying ice is from water. How could water be food? Water is a drink. And then when it's hard, it's solid. How a drink gonna be solid? And that's like food, so it ain't food or drink. At any rate, nobody agreed with him with that position. Rahimahu radiallahu anhu. Nobody agrees with that. The Shaykh is mentioning positions from the Sahaba that nobody agrees with them on their position. Even the other Sahabas didn't agree with them. But he's just trying to make the position clear that there's nobody better than the Sahaba. And this is where we learn Islam from, the Sahaba. And even on top of that, they're going to have some mistakes. But it doesn't mean there's mistakes in Islam. Islam is still clear because all of the rest of the Sahaba made it clear. Nah, you're a little off it on that. And this is only to show that when we're going to come 1400 years later, don't be amazed if a scholar is mistaken or wrong, or he has some fatwas that's not clear. You say, man, how could the Shaykh? You're talking about how could the Shaykh? Here's the Sahaba, the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. What are you talking about the Shaykh? No. But remember, our aqidah, and don't let this make you think that the Sahaba are anything except the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam. It's just that everybody makes mistakes. And even when they're told, they still make a mistake because they see it that way. And sometimes people think that every time someone holds a position, when you bring something else to him, he's going to change his position. No, he's not necessarily going to change his position because he thinks his position is correct Islamically. There's a difference between just being straight up wrong. You just invent something. But when you think your position is correct Islamically, you stand on your position, even though some people come with something else, as we're seeing in the likes of this case. Are they saying to him in this case, you fast, you gonna eat that? He said, nah, this is blessings. I'm still fasting, and I'm gonna mess with this ice right here, and everything is okay. No, radiallahu anhu. Mustafa ibn Adawi continues as he says, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, it's been narrated that he says it's permissible to have anal sex with your wife. And this has been collected by Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah, in his tafsir with authentic chain on the authority of Nafir. He said that Ibn Umar, when the Quran was recited to him, he didn't speak. He said, so I recited that day this ayah, نِسَاءُكُمْ حَرْثٌ لَكُمْ فَأْتُوا حَرْثَكُمْ أَنَّا شِئْتُمْ. Your women are a tilth for you, so go to your tilth however you like. He said, do you know what this ayah was revealed pertaining to? I said, no. He said, this was pertaining to having anal sex with your wives. Everyone knows this position is not correct. As Mustafa al-Abdu ibn Adawi continues, he says, and it is not unaware that the serious prohibition about having anal sex with your wife, meaning it's not permissible to have anal sex with your wife. The Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi, he continues, as he says, and Ibn Umar's father, Umar, radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa al-Rashid, and after him Uthman radiallahu anhu, another Khalifa al-Rashid, the second and third Khalifa to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both of them prohibited the people from making a tamattu' type of hajj. Both of them prohibited the people from making a tamattu' type of hajj. And this is the type of hajj that we make here at the Islamic Center of America, Masjid Ahlul Sunnah, Madrasat Ahlul Sunnah. And Imran ibn Hussein and Ali ibn Abi Talib, they oppose this position. Because the tamattu' hajj is mentioned in Allah's book, and it was commanded by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Sahaba. At any rate, it's been collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim. From the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, he said that I came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa huwa manikhun bil battah batha. So he said, how did you come into your state of ihram? So I said, I came into my state of ihram with that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into his state of ihram. So he said, do you have your sacrificial animal with you? So I said, no. He said, make tawaf around the house, the Kaaba, and then the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and then come out of the state of ihram. So I made the tawaf around the Kaaba and the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and then I approached a lady from the people, and she combed my hair and washed my hair, and I used to make the this fatwa to the people during the khilafahship of Abu Bakr and during the khilafah of Umar. And I was there standing during the Hajj season when a man came to me and said, do you know what the Amirul Mu'mineen has invented in the Hajj rites? I said, O people, indeed I used to give you a fatwa about something, but we're holding up right now. And this is the Amir al-Mu'mineen, or something like that. And this is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's coming. So whatever he tells, whatever he does, then you do what he does. So when Umar came, I said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, what is this that you have invented in the rites of the Hajj? He said, indeed we take Allah's book, and indeed Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, and complete the Hajj and the Umrah for Allah. And indeed we take the Sunnah of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and indeed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not come out of his ihram until he slaughtered his sacrificial animal. Let me just make this clear, inshallah. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu may hajj with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam taught him to make the tamattur hajj, which is after you finish the umrah, you come out of your state of ihram, meaning after the sa'i, the safar, wal marwa, you shave your, cut your hair short or shave it, then you come out of the state of ihram and you go back in it on a yawm al-tarwiyah, the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. Umar radiallahu anhu, he wasn't coming out of his ihram until the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, after you sacrifice the animal and stone the jamrah and what you do on that day. As this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he did. But he commanded everybody else to do other than that, alayhi salatu wasalam. At any rate, Abu Musa al-Ashari was commanding the people with what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded them. And Omar, he was saying that the Prophet did this, we doing that. So now you see where Umar radiallahu anhu had taken his position from. And the other hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu, he said, we made tamattu' hajj during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Quran was being revealed. So a man said with his own position or opinion what he wanted to. And in a narration, and it was not revealed in Allah's book, and it was not prohibited by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a man from amongst us would have his own position. Al-Hafiz, he says in the Fath al-Bari, and the Shaykh mentions the page number here, it is best to give the meaning of this man taking his own position to refer to Umar radiallahu anhu. And that is because he was the first one who prohibited the making of the tamattu' type of hajj. And it was as if those who came after him followed him in that. And in Muslim also, that Ibn Zubayr, he used to prohibit the making of the tamattu' hajj. And also Ibn Abbas, or commanded it to be done. So they asked Jabir, so he said about the issue of tamattu' hajj, and he said that Umar was the first one that prohibited the making of tamattu' hajj. And in the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, from the path of Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah, he said that Ali and Uthman radiallahu anhuma, they differed pertaining to the tamattu' type of hajj. So Ali, he said, do you want to prohibit something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded to be done? So when Ali saw that, he got into the state of ihram for the hajj and the umrah. And in one of the narrations, Uthman said, leave us alone with him. And he said, indeed, we're not able to stop him. And this is showing that they had a difference of an opinion pertaining to that. Mustafa al-Adawi continues as he says, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he used to make wudu, and his wudu, he used to wipe it all the way up to his shoulder, and his made wudu with his arms. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقَ, and your hands up to the elbows. And this has been collected by Imam Muslim from the path of Abu Hazim. He said that I was behind Abu Huraira and he was making wudu for the salat. And he was washing his hand all the way up to his shoulder. So I said to him, Abu Huraira, what type of wudu is this? So he said, O children of Farrukh, like I didn't realize you all are right here, meaning that he didn't notice that they were there while he was making the wudu. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, if I knew that you were here, I wouldn't have made wudu like that. And I heard my close companion say, I forgot the meaning of this hadith. Exactly. At any rate, somebody will be rewarded, or the light will be according to how far he makes his wudu. So Abu Huraira was trying to get all of it that he could. That was his personal opinion. Even some of the ulama mentioned that even the statement of Abu Huraira, that there was wisdom in it, that sometimes a person will have a personal opinion according to a particular hadith, and he will practice that himself, but he won't have it for the rest of the people. And he was saying that this was the case of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abdullah, Mustafa ibn Adwi continues as he says, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and he was more closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than anyone else. He used to see a tatbiq in the salah. And this is where you place your two hands between your legs while you are in the ruku' position without putting your hands on your knees. When you're in the bowing position, you have your hands on your knees. Instead of having your hands on your knees, you have your hands in between your legs, between your thighs. Until Sa'id ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he said, may Allah show his mercy on Abu Abdurrahman. That's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. That we used to do that, and then we were prohibited from doing that. And it's been collected by Muslim from the path of Al-Aswad and Al-Qama. And we have a new Al-Qama to our community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him from amongst the righteous. And they said that we came to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in his home. And he said, will they make salat behind you? So we said, no. So he said, stand up and make salat. And he didn't command us to make an adhan or an iqama. He said, so we went to stand behind him so he could lead us in the salat. And he took us by our hands and he put one of us on the right of him and one of us on the left of him. Meaning all three of them was making salat in one row, three of them in a row. And he said, when we made rukur in the bowing position, we placed our hands on our knees. So he hit our hands. And then he put his hands in between his thighs. So when we finished the salat, he said, indeed there will be leaders or emirs who will delay the salat outside of its time. And then he made a phrase I don't know the exact meaning, and the Sheikh explained it. We'll leave that. So when you see them do this, then you make salat at its proper time, and then you make salat with them as a nafila salat, or recommend, or extra salat. And if you are three people, then make salat all together in one line. And if you are more than that, then let one of you be the imam in front and everybody else behind. And when you go to the ruku' or the bowing position, then put your hands between your thighs. He said, and it's as if I'm looking at the hand, the fingers of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or something like that. And in another narration of Imam Muslim from Mus'ab ibn Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, he said, I made salat on the side of my father. He said, I put my hands in between my thighs. And my father said to me, put your hands on your knees. He said, then I did that one time. Then I did that another time, putting my hands between my thighs. And he says, indeed, we've been prohibited from doing that. And we have been commanded to put our hands on our knees. Mustafa ibn Adu, he continues as he says, and Umar radiallahu anhu, was unaware of the hadith of asking permission to enter three times. And Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu came to the house of Umar and sought permission three times and left. And this is in the narration. You don't mind if I just summarize some of this real quick? Anyway, as you see already that the Shaykh is bringing the exact wording of the hadith. So I just summarize real quickly. All these are from authentic hadith. This one from the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, where Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu, he went to seek permission into Umar's house radiallahu anhu. He asked for permission three times. Nobody answered, so he left. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he came to the souq, who knocked on my door and ran. So Abu Musa al-Ashari said, I did. This is what the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Knock three times, we don't get any answer. All right, to leave. Umar got mad. You gonna get hurt if you don't bring another witness to say he heard that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At any rate, someone bore witness that they heard that from the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Musaf ibn Adu, he brings another example. He says, likewise, the Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar, he was unaware of the tayammum, and it was mentioned to him by Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu, and he still didn't remember. And that was that Ammar ibn Yasir was trying to remind Umar that, you remember that time when we were on the trip and we didn't find no water, so you didn't make salat waiting for some water, so I rolled around in the dirt, made some, and then made salat. And we mentioned that to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, you didn't have to do all of that. All you had to do was slap your two hands on the ground, pulling them, and then wipe your face in your hands with those two hands. No. At any rate, it was mentioned to Omar, and Omar still said, I don't remember that tayammum thing. Radiallahu anhu. The Shaykh, he mentions the example of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she used to see that an older person breastfeeding would make that person from amongst the mahram. And Allah Ta'ala, he says, وَالْوَالِدَاتُ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَ. From Suratul Baqarah, verse 233, I think that is. Where Allah Ta'ala, he says, and the mothers will breastfeed their children for two complete years for those who want to complete the period prescribed for breastfeeding. At any rate, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had given permission for Salim, Mawla Abi Hudhayfa to for Abu Hudhayfa's wife to breastfeed Salim, and Salim was a grown boy or an adult, so that he could be a mahram to her. Alright, Abu Hudhayfa and his wife, they took Salim as a foster child when he was young. So they really was like parents to him. So the verdict came down, no, y'all not parents, man. That's somebody else's child. So everything had to switch up. So then, he was no longer, the mother wasn't mahram to that boy, and she had to cover and stuff. They said, well, this is going to be a problem in the house. So the Prophet ﷺ said, all right, just breastfeed him. He big. Yeah, after that, you know, everything is going to be okay. All right. Everybody used to see that that was particular case, and not for everybody elsewhere. But Aisha radiallahu anha, she used to see that that was for everybody up until right now. And people still making fatwas like that. No. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, let me just some other examples. And then the Shaykh Mustafa ibn Adawi, he says, I don't understand this example of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. And then Mustafa ibn Adawi, he says, and then there's others from amongst the Sahab and the Tabi'een and the Tabi' Tabi'een and others, up into the scholars of our time likewise. And all of that does not harm the scholars at all by Allah's permission. Because indeed these were the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had some fatwas that most of the people of knowledge saw to be in opposition to that which was most correct, and that they had missed the mark in those fatwas. And it's even more worthy of the scholars who come after the Sahaba that they might make mistakes. So therefore, it is not proper for anyone to be with a particular scholar and to accept from him everything that he says, and to leave everything that anyone else says from amongst the people of knowledge, because this is not from the way of our Salaf al-Salih. Don't you see that Ibn Abbas, he used to narrate on Umar, and Ibn Abbas, and Aisha, and Abu Bakr, and Abu Hurairah, and Ali radiallahu anhu, and other than them? Don't you see that Ibn Musayyib rahimahullah, he used to narrate on Abu Hurairah, and he narrates on Umar, and Ibn Abbas, and others radiallahu anhum? And don't you see that Ahmed ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, he used to narrate on Ash-Shafi'i, and Ishaq, and Al-Thawri, and other than them rahimahumullah? So don't be restricted to anyone from amongst the scholars in particular. Or they didn't restrict themselves to any one particular scholar, but rather they used to take from here and they used to take from there. May Allah show His mercy on all of them, and may He honor their final abode. And it's not been narrated on any one person from amongst them that he used to call to one particular scholar and to leave off all of the rest of the people of knowledge. May the mercy of Allah be upon all of them. Mustafa ibn al-Adawi continues as he says, so I'm advising you to widen your horizons and not to restrict your mental faculties. And oh you people who want an understanding of your deen, and don't let anyone from amongst you hold fanatically to one sheikh from amongst the sheikhs of the latter day scholars, meaning the sheikhs that are living right now. May Allah preserve all of them. And then you begin to defend his position, whether he's right or wrong. And then you burden me with bringing evidences to refute his positions, or evidences to support the position because he's your sheikh. Rather, I'm advising you to say to the one who has the truth, indeed you are upon the truth. And for the one who has made a mistake, may Allah pardon you and forgive you, as you have missed the mark. And may you top yourselves off with, in your statements, with, or crown your statements with etiquette and honor. Perhaps your Lord may guide you to the straight path. And this is the end of what the Shaykh presents in this chapter. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I just wanted to add, in light of what the Shaykh has presented, with what I began with in the beginning, in the statement of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah commands us, those who believe, to stand firm for justice and not to let your hatred or dislike of a people make you unjust, because being just and fair is closer to taqwa. So have the taqwa of Allah, and Allah is all aware of what you do. So those people who have accused myself or us here at Masjid Ahl Sunnah, or at the Islamic Center of America, Masjid Ahl Sunnah, Madrasat Ahl Sunnah, they have accused us of not following the ulama. And this is, as I said, it's a plot from them. When they say that we have not followed the ulama, it's a plot if they know better. Because they know the ulama have differed. And then they tell us, as we follow some of the ulama, the ones that we feel to have been correct in any particular issue, and we didn't follow those who weren't correct, they mention the names of those who we felt weren't correct, and then they ask us, do we follow them in a particular position, and we say no. Then they go around and tell everybody, you don't follow the ulama. For example, they might say to me, do you think that eating ice breaks your fast? I say yes. They say, that's one. Do you think it's permissible for a mut'a marriage in particular circumstances? No. Two. Do you think that if an older person breastfed, a lady breastfed him, that older person will become a mahram to that lady? No. That's three. And then they will go on like that, you see what I'm doing. Then they'll say, see? He don't even follow the Sahaba. He don't follow the Sahaba. But they don't tell the whole story. The Sahaba differed. And people said that they weren't correct. And they brought the evidences from the Kitab and the Sunnah to say that. But this is how they do. They come to me, they ask me, I answer, then they say, okay. Then they go behind your back and they tell everybody, you don't follow the Sahaba. Alright, that's the case with cases right here, like we mentioned from the Sahaba. That's the same thing with the ulama nowadays. Alright, they ask me some positions on some issues. Are you the Imam? Yes, I'm the Imam of Masjid Ahl Sunnah. That's one. They say, do they call a Salatul Khayr min al-Nawm for the Adhan al-Fajr at the Masjid? No. Two. They say, did you all choose an emir from amongst yourselves? Yes. Three. Then they go after that and they tell people, Abu Muslim, he don't follow the ulama. And then they just start going on. He don't follow the ulama. Those brothers there, they blind following Abu Muslim, he don't follow the ulama. Wallahi, this is a plot if the people know. Because if they know better, tell me why they doing it. Except that they want us to go backwards, to not using our intellect, and to being blind followers, and to having anybody who they want to control us and maneuver us like puppets, any which way they want us to go. If that's not the case, why are they saying you don't follow the ulama? When they know good and well, all of the positions we take, walillah alhamd, is based on evidences from the Kitab and the sunnah and the positions of the ulama. Why do they say you don't follow the ulama? Because it's a trick of the shaitan. Jazakumullahu khairan. I don't know if we're saying that they are shaitan. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But this is a plot in order to make us blind followers. The ulama have differed. We're going to listen to what's being said and follow what we feel to be most correct, and no one can blame you in doing so, because this is the position that you have no other opportunity to do so. Because the same people who say you don't follow the ulama, we're going to tell them they don't follow the ulama. And this is what I said right now, wallahi, the challenge is for anybody living. And I don't have no knowledge. But this challenge is for anybody living. That there's no one living that can tell me that there's no people of knowledge that he don't oppose. From the Sahaba down to the people living right now. There's no one living who can say he doesn't oppose the people of knowledge from the Sahaba to right now. And anyone who feels that he can stand up and say, I don't oppose any people of knowledge in any issues, I'm ready to challenge him and debate him anytime he likes to and any place, inshallah ta'ala. And this is why there's never going to be a debate. And there's never going to be a discussion about do you really follow the ulama or not. Because they know when you start laying that issue out, then it's going to be made clear to the people that it was a plot to make us blindly follow a group of people so that they could do whatever they want with us. Wallahi, we don't blindly follow everybody that came with a program to America, and programs still coming. Programs are still coming. And if you remember, I said some years back that before, when the programs came to lead us astray, they came in the straight disguise. Somebody say, I'm the Mahdi. You say, is your name Muhammad ibn Abdullah? And you're from Al-Qurashi, from the family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He says, no, but I'm the Mahdi. They came with straight foolishness because we was that ignorant. But I said, now that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is blessing us to learn some more of His book and the Sunnah of His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when they come to wing us off this time, it's going to have to be on a higher level. What's that higher level? Following the scholars. And they try to use, in light of following the scholars, another way to wing us off on some other programs. We ain't getting wung off on that. And every time, inshallah ta'ala, they come with something to wing us off, we're going to come with the kitab and the sunnah and the statements of the ulama to refute that stuff so we can be on clarity, so we don't have to get wung off every time somebody comes to the shores of America on a regular basis to lead us astray. We're not going that way, man. You don't run us and control our minds. Allah gave us minds to listen to His book and to the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to follow the way of our Salaf al-Salih. And this is what we're going to do with our minds. Allah didn't give us our minds to let somebody come with a program to shut our minds. And now the program is more sophisticated. As I was telling you years ago, as we were in the masjid every day learning, that eventually, when they come with the plot will have to be a little more sophisticated, because we not going for anything. But unfortunately, people went for that. And that's because they wasn't really sitting in the masjid regularly and learning Islam. So then when the wind came, they got caught in the wind. And they saying, follow the scholars. And people really, they coming to me saying, Akhi, man, why don't you just follow the scholars, man? It's okay. It's okay, Abu Muslim, man. Don't get defensive, man. Listen, everybody make mistakes, man. Follow the scholars. Who telling me that except somebody? One of two people. Either he down with the plot himself, and he trying to wing me off, and Allah saved me from getting wung off. He trying to wing me off, or he's the other case, he's ignorant. And this is the case of a lot of the people. They ignorant of the statements of the ulama. Wallahi, they ignorant of the statements of the ulama. And we call them ulama, and they ignorant of the statements of the ulama. We call them ulama, and they're ignorant of the statements of the ulama. And I know myself, I done sat down with people that's going to correct me on an issue that I'm following the Kitab and the Sunnah and the people of knowledge on. They're going to correct me on the issue. I ask them, you study, do you know this position in light of the Kitab and the Sunnah and the people of knowledge? No. I'm a scholar, you not, and you want to do what I say. And my only response to people who tell me that is, I'm Salafi. Salafi. That's the only etiquette and manner I can use with the people of knowledge is to say I'm Salafi, that they might understand from afar that I don't blindly follow you because of who you are and because of your status and position over me. But I honor you and respect you and follow you when you're correct, and I don't follow you when you're incorrect. And I'm the one looking at the case that's going to decide. I'm the one looking at the case that's going to decide, because I'm the one that has to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself and the positions that I take. And you are the ones that has to stand before Allah for yourselves on Yawm al-Qiyamah for the positions that you have to take. And you must make sure that your positions that you take are for Allah's sake, sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you feel it to be correct in light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, no matter what somebody else says. Because just because somebody knows better than you doesn't mean that he can't be wrong, as we saw in the examples of the Sahaba, of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. The other case, as we're saying, is the people are ignorant. They don't even know the positions of the ulama. That's why they say, you say what? Akhi, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and change your position. This is correct. Then wallahi, I remember even myself sitting with one of the sheikhs. I said, do you know what Sheikh so-and-so said? Because that's who we follow. We're following Sheikh so-and-so with his evidences from the Kitab and the Sunnah. Do you know what Sheikh so-and-so says? He says, no. Yeah, subhanAllah. What is that? That's not ignorance. Why are you going to blame us? You don't even know where we take him from. At least hear us out before you blame us. But this is the way of the ignorant. They can't hear you out. Because if they could have heard themselves out, they wouldn't have even have to hear you out. You don't have to hear me out. If you're a student of knowledge, and you're going to read, and you're going to know that the ulama have different. You don't have to listen to me. You're going to already know. Like myself, if I hear a position, I don't have to get all uptight. I know he with such and such, and those are their evidences. Well, why are you not saying what the Sheikh said? Because I'm with so-and-so, and their evidences. I listen to both sides. I chose this. So you don't feel that you're going to blame somebody for not following the ulama when you know he's following the ulama. And wallahi, we taking positions, people say, wallahi, you ain't following the ulama. It's a plot, or they straight up ignorant, man. The ulama's positions are not secrets, man. It ain't no monopoly on no knowledge. So I tell the people, man, stop coming to America, man, trying to trick us thinking it's a monopoly. We can't understand Islam till we go through you. And wallahi, people told me to my face, I'm a Muslim, man, you gotta come through us. Your people coming through you, and you gotta come through us. And go tell them, you gotta come through us. And if you don't tell them you gotta come through us, we're gonna talk bad about you. And then y'all saw all of the talk that came afterwards. Wallahi, people said it to me. And if they have courage to stand up and be real men, they'll come out and tell you that they told me that. I told them, nah, I can't work like that. Salafi, I can't work like that. We're going to listen to what's being said and follow what we see to be correct. You ignorant. Yeah, I'm ignorant, man. But I got a mind, man. And I'm going to use my mind to listen to what's being said and to follow what I see to be correct, because this is what we learn in the Quran. Otherwise, if I'm just going to follow somebody just because of who he was, I'd be a kafir. Your parents, you're supposed to honor and respect your parents? Supposed to honor and respect your parents. I'll be on what they on, where would I be? That's what I told them. Then the sheikh get mad at you. You say, sheikh, listen, I got parents, sheikh. I respect you and I honor you, man. I got parents. I got parents. You want to quote me some Quran and something about how I'm supposed to deal with my parents? Now that we understand that Allah mentions after the Tawheed that you got to be kind to your parents to show the importance of being kind to your parents. Alright, honoring and respecting your parents. Alright, I ain't following them, Shaykh. So don't be mad at me, Shaykh, when I tell you I love you and I follow you and I honor you and I respect you and I ain't with you on that. Don't get mad at me. This is the position of everybody, man. You want to honor and respect people, but it don't mean you worship them, man. You worship Allah on what was brought by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the Kitab and the Sunnah. You don't worship people, man. You honor and respect, but you don't worship. And worshiping them is when you take everything they say as word. That's when you worship them. And this is how the Christians and the Jews were blamed, because they were taking every single thing from their people, from their people of knowledge. So this, in this case of following the ulama, this is a correct statement. We're supposed to follow the ulama in light of the kitab and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is to honor them and respect them and to follow them and to learn from them and to take all of your problems to them. But they're going to be correct for the most part, and they're going to be mistaken. And when they're mistaken, they're going to be forgiven, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. But for us, we can't follow them in their mistakes. On their mistakes, we're going to drop them off. On their mistakes, we're going to drop them off. So for this statement that you brothers have been hearing, and I wish this gets to the ears of those people who have been making this plot, or the ignorant, that they're either plotting against us to make us blind followers and to trick us and to take us down a wrong path. And now the path that they take us down has to be kitab and sunnah and following the ulama. Because if they don't come to us like that, the first thing we're going to say is, get out of here with that. So they're going to come to us with the kitab and the sunnah and are following the people of knowledge, because that's our methodology, alhamdulillah. But when they come to us with that, we still checking it out. That's what this manhaj is. You ain't just taking stuff now that you have this, you listening. Where your evidence is? You say, man, I got an ayat with that. Oh, that's cool. You ain't heard no ayat yet. He said, Sheikh got an ayat. Alright, but I ain't heard no ayat yet. I ain't saying the Sheikh ain't got no ayat. I'm saying I ain't with the Sheikh because I ain't heard no ayat. Or you say the Sheikh got his evidences. This is what the people be saying. They ignorant though. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. They say the Sheikh got his evidences. You say, alright, what's his evidence? I don't know. But you say the Sheikh ain't got no evidences? That's what you're trying to say about the Sheikh? Then they get back and they try to make you a criminal. Because you're not with a position, because you see the position to be wrong. He tell you, oh, the Sheikh ain't got no evidences? I say, I don't know. You with the Sheikh position, you tell me his evidences. Well, you know, I don't know nothing. Well, shut up then. They don't know anything, but then they're going to come to you, shut you up, tell you, make you against the Sheikh. And you know, just like the other week, the brother told me, oh, you saying the Sheikh a munafiq? You saying the Sheikh a munafiq? Why don't you go ask the Sheikh, you ain't following the Sahaba? Wallahi, quote some positions from the ulama and say, Sheikh, why you not with that? And wallahi, astaghfirullah, we're sitting with some of these people of knowledge was talking against us, and we did a little trick. Astaghfirullah, may Allah forgive us. I knew both of the sheikhs because I read their books and we listen to their tapes and we know their positions, and both of the ulama are together, but I know they ain't together on everything. So when everybody telling us follow the ulama, I say, okay, we with the ulama. We just got some questions, that's all. One of the sheikhs is stronger in his position than the other one. So we ask the one that's not so strong first. Because the one strong gonna say his position. So we say, excuse me, sheikh, we heard that we're supposed to do such and such. The sheikh said, yes, this is what you're supposed to do. And the deen, in light of, you know, this is the evidence, that.
Ah, jazakallahu khayran. The other sheikh couldn't be quiet. No, excuse me. Akhi, listen. What's correct in the issue is such and such and such and such, because this, that, that, that. But wait a minute, wait a minute. We're supposed to follow the ulama. He said this, he said that. I'm confused. No, don't be confused. Listen to what's said and follow what's correct. Ah, jazakallahu khayran, sheikh. They sitting there, they don't even realize it in the whole sitting. We do this to them. Then in the end they say, you heard what we said, man, you better be behind us. Sorry, I can't be with you. If you ain't behind us, I'm telling you, we're going to talk against you. Hey, you got to do what you got to do because we on what we got to be on. But they don't even realize that if they was thinking that it was already brought out to them so that they can understand, man, Sheikh, man, we love you and follow you and what's right. And even you yourselves are going to teach us to listen to what's being said and to follow what's correct. But people, astaghfirullah, they have to watch themselves, all of us. Especially the people if they know a little more than the next people. That they don't become amazed with themselves. Or become liking that people like what they say. Or being happy because people follow what they say. Because this is a disease if you become happy that the people follow you. Or happy that the people like your position. Or like this, until you be thinking it's about you. And you forget it's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. And the kitab and the sunnah of the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and following the way of our sahaba. And the tabi'un and the tabi' tabi'een and the ulama of this deen. You forget that. And then you become hurt when somebody doesn't follow your position. Like you can't be wrong. If somebody asks you, can you be wrong? You say, yeah. You say, okay. If you wrong, what you want me to do with that? You say, don't follow me in it. You say, well, what you wrong in? He's going to say, well, I don't know what I'm wrong in, because if I knew I was wrong, what if I... So people, if you knew you was wrong in something, you're not going to follow it. Inshallah. Except sometimes if you're weak, but you'll say, I'm wrong, but I'm weak, that's why I'm doing that. But if you're not weak, you think that your position is correct, and your position is not correct. So the other person, he don't think like you. You thinking that it's correct, that's why you took that position. But him, he don't have your mind. He's listening to everything that's being said, and he's not with that. So at any rate, I just wanted to make this statement, following the scholars, clear in our minds. That sometimes people are using it as a plot to take away our minds. To make us blind follow whoever they want us to blindly follow. And other people are just straight ignorant. They're just straight ignorant. And they don't know nothing about Islam. Like the example I gave the other week where somebody said, listen, really, I don't have no problem with Abu Muslimah, except that he's the Imam. How he gonna be the Imam? Can't be no Imam. The Imam is the Khalifa. The Imam is the Khalifa. You say, okay. What are you going to say to somebody like this when the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِ That the Imam has only been placed there to be followed. Who that Imam? The Khalifa? فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُوا So when he says, Allahu Akbar, you say, Allahu Akbar. That's for whoever leads the Salat, man. And the Prophet ﷺ used the word Imam. But people are just ignorant. So on that side, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to forgive you if you're ignorant. But at the same time, if you're ignorant, don't keep going out in the public and causing division amongst the Muslims, because then we're going to have to make your case clear to the people. And for those other people that are plotting, if somebody is plotting, he doesn't want a challenge. And he doesn't want to be confronted. Or he doesn't want to confront and deal the issue because he knows he has a plot. He don't want to deal with it. So sometimes the people, they keep asking us, well, why don't we just deal with it? We in the masjid every day, you asking us why we won't deal with it. Even like one of the brothers said recently to the other brothers, because they don't make salat in the masjid. You don't know how many people, when you start leaving certain areas, they don't make salat in the masjid. People will be doing all this talking on the internet. Nobody don't ask them, do they make salat in the masjid? You just see something on the internet, you say, mashallah. Do the people who put it on the internet make salat in the masjid? What masjid they make salat in? The masjid on the sunnah like this one, alhamdulillah, that's where they make a salat at? let people tell the whole story on stuff. This is what I wanted to present. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I don't know if there was any questions or things that need to be clear, or if it's clear. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll pick up where we left off. Yes.
Based on some of the things that you said for the diocese in terms of going back over and going back to the beginning, understanding the deed, in light of your advice, I went back to the creed.
No.
And in the understanding of creed, in the most hard.
Right.
He walked to us in Lengthy Hadith with two men waiting for Abdul Masud and the people in the masjid.
No.
Sitting in circles thinking Allah. But I think you kind of like answered the question to that Hadith in terms where the people said they were only intending to do good.
No.
Right? That the limit for that. Right, is that, and then also in light of the statement about the Hakim, right, when he makes a decision, that the people intentionally, in this Hadith, the people had no basis for their actions. There was no basis for their actions with these people that were sitting in circles, looking in the Masjid from the Messenger of Allah, so
no, I
where
see.
The Hakim, where the judge, he has a basis in any decision that he makes.
No.
So these people who eventually, as the Hadith goes on to say, eventually wind up fighting the Muslims, continued in their transgression.
No.
Right, against the commandments of the Most High and the Messenger, and eventually were fighting against the Muslims. So the limit, right, in that understanding is when you that you intend to do good, is that if the good has to be in accordance with the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah.
No, that's correct. Let's ask a question in light of what the brother is saying. He's saying basically that people are going to be mistaken. And this was a talk before. I forgot what the name was that talk. Guilty students of knowledge or something like that. And innocent ones. Everyone who's correct is not right. And everyone incorrect is not wrong. No, it's proper to say it like that. All right, two people wrong. One person intended to do right by following the Kitab and the Sunnah and the people of knowledge, and he missed the mark. He's okay. Huh? His niyyah is right. Alright, the other one, he's wrong. He don't want to hear no kitab, no sunnah, and he don't want to hear nothing about the scholars. He just want to do his own thing. And he's wrong. Alright, he's wrong. And the same thing on somebody who's right. One person is right, but his niyyah is purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. He's really right. But somebody else, he's right, but he has a bad niyyah. It's not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake to be seen of the people, this, that. He's wrong. But if you want to say in light of myself, alhamdulillah, or what is basically disseminated from the Islamic Center of America, Masjid al-Sunnah, Madrasat al-Sunnah, is the Kitab and the Sunnah and the understanding of our Salaf al-Saleh. Nobody is going to say that what comes from here is not basically that. Perfection is for Allah. There's going to be mistakes. But nobody is going to say that what comes from here is not that. Or for myself, that's not my methodology, and it's not clear. It's clear, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. No. Yes.
Six, part of the chapter, which is the six traps of Shaitan.
All that, but that's basically similar to what the brother is saying. Maybe some of the people who have made attacks on us have been sincere and they want good. They say, stay away from the Islamic Center of America, Masjid al-Sunnah. You ask them why they say that? I want the best for the people. Whatever you do, just stay away from Abu Muslim or the Islamic Center of America, Masjid al-Sunnah, Madrasa al-Sunnah, because I want good for you. So some people, they're sincere and they want good, but how often does a person who want good never achieves it? That's because if you really want good, then you have to tread a particular path, not called your desires, not called listening and accepting everything you hear. As the Prophet ﷺ said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It's sufficient for a person to be a sinner that he narrates everything that he hears. So you can't narrate everything that you hear, wanting to do good and be okay. No. If you're sincere and you want good, then you have to follow the path of those who came before you who are sincere and wanted good by following the Kitab and the Sunnah and the way of our Salaf al-Salih. Otherwise, you wind up doing like one of the brothers had did. He called me up and he apologized. He said, I'm sorry they tricked me. I'm sorry they tricked me. I don't know what he's doing. I think he's trying to test me or something, this or that. He write me a long letter. You should resign as the Imam of Masjid al-Sunnah. You have led the people so far astray. Maybe if you resign and you leave now, that the people might have a chance to see the truth and come to the truth, and you might have a chance that Allah might accept your repentance and what have you, and this and that. So I told him, if I've done that, I have to step down. So what I want you to do is, I want you to write out the things for me where I've led the people astray, and I want you to be there. I didn't even know what he looked like. I just want you to be there to hear me read to the people where I led them astray, to apologize to them for doing it, and to repent and to step down as the Imam of Masjid al-Sunnah. At any rate, when I offered that to him, he told the people who told him that, SubhanAllah, man, look like the brother is sincere, man. We have to just lay this thing out for him, man. Look like he want to come around. They said, come around. He can't come around, man. You must be with him. Then they just cut him off. So then, afterwards, he just started listening around. He came and visited and watched a couple of times and saw that it wasn't the way that the people said it was. And then he came to me and he apologized. He told me, I'm sorry. I didn't know. They tricked me. You know, sometimes you just hear stuff. They're your friends. You think that they want good for you and this and that. And it's all a plot or ignorance. Or both. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Yes. Alqama. That's someone's name. Alqama is a name. Yeah. He was one of the Tabi'een. And that's Abdul Shadid's new son name. Alqama. نعم. I don't know if there was anything else. Yes. He was raising his hand. I didn't notice right there. The brother right here, Ibrahim. They use the. Jazakallahu khairan. That's part of the plot. I don't know. Maybe we might get a chance to deal with that a little more tomorrow. The brother is saying that people use division to rule. And really, you know, hopefully that's going to be really dealt with, because many of us who adhere to the Kitab and the Sunnah and the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and the scholars of this deed, we were united together and working together and doing good, alhamdulillah. And then some people came and divided us. And it looks like that division was in order to control us. Because even when it was presented to me, it was saying, hey, you don't get down, Abu Muslimah, then, you know, we take them with us, then we're going to have to just deal with you on the other way. So sometimes the people, they use division to rule. Allah musta'an. Yes, Abdullah. Good. The brother had his hand up before you, Al. Good, Al. He had his hand up. No, I told you we were going to work that out.
We worked it out. Sometimes you say you want to see this, and you say you want to do this. And they say, you want money? Then they get the money. And then I said one day, you want to do something about my barber shop? We never talked. Now, it's the point, I got my okay, expecting. So now, I'm in the last year, I stayed in the master for years. My property got choking. This stuff been bothering me, I think. You know what I mean? I didn't come here to use the Muslim. I just helped somebody this morning, and he said, you're staying in Massachusetts. I thought you were being all up.
No. We with you, are. You are a brother.
If with me, they're going to be with me when it's time to get a faith. You're going to be with me when I want to get a faith. You're not going to be with me when I got money.
No, we with you, period.
You're going to be with me when I don't got it. You ain't with me when I don't got it, you with my brother.
We with you, though. All of us.
Because if you ain't with me, I ain't with you.
All of us, we with you.
Yes, sir.
Ain't we with them?
No. I know we're with you, Allah. You know, sometimes, when Ramadan over, we at the same end of the way. We're at the same stuff. When it's time to get paid from the Muslim won't take that. I agree with you a little bit.
Allah help us.
All the stuff we go through is a test. I'm tired of some of that stuff.
Now you're going to keep going through some more tests, too.
That's
it's not right. Over.
You
got to be patient. But you have to be patient so you can be rewarded. But you have to be patient for what you
do. But I don't
know
who these Muslims. No, Muslim people don't be wrong.
Make dua for them.
Make dua for me,
Shah.
Don't be on the wrong Muslim.
You're
saying what?
Allah, yes, sir. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك الحمد لله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله